Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hard, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Last year, we commissioned a local sculptor to create a larger-than-life bronze statue to perpetuate the legendary legacy of the great Tom Brady.
They have completed the greatest comeback.
It's gotta be perfect, all right?
What a throw by Brady.
You are not finished, fellas.
It is the honor of my life to be officially enshrined into the winning legacy of this amazing organization.
Yeah!
I am Tom Brady, and I am a Patriot.
That was the voice of Raiders owner Tom Brady at last year's Tom Brady night.
Don't take the cheese, everyone.
That's
Fox color analyst. That would be entrepreneur and Tom Brady card vault owner Tom Brady.
Also family consultant, if your name is Tony Scheffler, but we don't need to get into that right now. That's Tom Brady.
Scotty Scheffler. Why don't you go to Citizen Kane Pizza?
No, it's Citizen Crust. Our friends over there at Citizen Crust. We're right out front on the Dean College stage here at Patriot Place. For WEEI Afternoons on Tom Brady night. Also, Patriots preseason opener.
Dan, would you please update the jersey count? One A.J. McCarron Alabama away jersey.
Wow.
Not have that on my jersey bingo board.
Didn't even know
we should have worn jerseys, apparently. Everybody's got jerseys on.
I have a jersey on.
What?
It's Ted Lasso.
No. I meant a real jersey from a real sport.
What, fake soccer isn't a real sport to you?
Nope. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines. Clay in Nashville has an idea of what the Tom Brady statue should be. Well, it's already been made, so it might be too late, but what's your idea, Clay?
What up, Clay?
Yeah, clearly too late. Appreciate you guys taking the call, but I don't think that I can go home happy unless it's the infamous 2000 draft picture of Tom Brady.
100%.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call, Clay.
So you want him shirtless in the baby blue boxers.
In those I think those are just those uniform shorts they give out to every member of the Combine back in the day before it was like Under Armour sponsored.
Remember when he ran his 40 and he was in a white T-shirt and like khaki shorts?
But like a baggy white.
Baggy.
Now they wear like spandex, cutoff, Under Armour.
They call it the Underwear Olympics, and it looks like it's sprayed on at this point.
I can guarantee you that is not the pose because under the sheet right now you can see that there is definitely an elevated something, a raised either fist of success, whether it's a trophy. There is something high above him.
So the statue will be 12 feet tall. Brady himself will probably only be like 8 or 9, maybe 10. But there is definitely like an extended limb reaching
absolutely
the apex of 12 feet.
Also, there was somebody yesterday on the text line that was very mean and said it's going to be 2.3 Andes tall.
I was just going to ask how many Andes we have to stack on top of each other.
Well,
to get
Rich
one
Keefe,
Tom Brady statue.
I don't know if you heard. Rich Keefe said it's going to be 12 feet tall or precisely 3 Andy Hart.
Ah, got it. Okay,
son
perfect. There's your keep track at home. There's your measure.
617-779-7937. Not only is it Tom Brady statue night, but there is a football game that will be played, and Drake May, we are expecting, will be on the field for at least a couple series to get his sophomore season, his year two jump season underway. Brandon in Boston wants to chime in on what he's looking for from Drake May. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, with Drake May, I think he had about 10 picks out of 13 games. So basically, if we round it up, he's throwing a pick a game. So I want to see him lower that with no picks. Let's see if he can move his team down the field confidently. Let's see what he can do without relying on that running back when it's third and two or fourth down. I want to see some creative plays, not only from him, but Josh McDaniels as well. So let's see what he can do.
Thanks for the call, Brandon.
How much creativity I need to see tonight.
I don't need creativity, first of all, and I also don't need him to do it without his running backs because as the guy who thinks the running backs are going to be part of the core of
the offense,
start with that. I would like to see Ramondre Stevenson be productive and hold on to the football because he's another guy that if I look at the elevation of competition, they went to the scrimmage in the stadium last week, and what did he do? Fumbled.
Put it on last year.
I need those two guys in particular to stop doing what they did last year and start doing what everybody wants and needs them to do this year. But whether it's Ramondre Stevenson, whether it's your guy Henderson, the rookie running back, whether it's Gibson, who in the practices with the Commanders had one of those screens where you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
I remember those.
He's really good at that.
Yeah, but he was a wide receiver in college.
Yes, I think Josh McDaniel's offense, going back to Charlie Weiss, is a screen-heavy offense. So why would you want to eliminate the running backs?
Third and four, another screen from McDaniel's. Yeah, it's one of the most effective plays
in football. If you get 4 yards, I don't care.
Yeah, who cares?
Now it's called first and 10.
Yeah, and the thing about, like, I think Antonio Gibson is a player people are kind of sleeping on preseason or just in advance of the regular season because the fact that he's a decent running back between the tackles but has good outside the tackle speed and was a converted receiver, like Josh is going to have fun with him.
If Antonio Gibson is your third best running back,
you're good.
If Antonio Gibson has to start getting bumped up to, is he my second? Oh, my God, is he my lead back? Something like that. Now things aren't as good.
No.
That totality of that room, those three guys I said, you can have your other guy if he's walking through or not.
Lan Larrison.
But those three guys I think are going to be a huge part of this offense, and I think you're going to see him tonight because those are easy throws, and I think they're going to be trying to do the easy throws for Drake May to let him leave this game with some positive momentum, some positive scouting
report. Where's my bomb to Kyle Williams, bro?
We don't need bombs to Kyle Williams. Those will come later in the year. Right now we just need simple, positive plays. Move the ball, don't get hurt, and get the hell out of there. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Jerome in Scituate has an idea for the Tom Brady statue. What's up, Jerome?
I think I got a good idea. I thought I saw it when I was there the other day. It's going to be Tom throwing the ball, and then off to the side, you're going to have Giselle screaming at Julian Edelman with a caption, he can't throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time.
Love the idea, Jerome. I don't believe that is accurate, but I love the idea.
Yeah, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be Brady throwing the ball and Giselle holding three babies on the side. And that's
where's the jiu-jitsu instructor?
Will he be with there? Johnny Jiu-Jitsu right behind.
Oh, we shouldn't make light. This is Tom Brady's night.
It's we're allowed to have a little points. Fun. Comedy's not doing its job if it doesn't make you just
good
a little
Lord.
Uncomfortable. Come
I
on now.
I think we need to talk Come about on. Giselle and the kids tonight. This is about Tom and his football career. It's about the good things he did
right.
in the stadium.
He did a lot of great things.
Why do you need to take pot shots at him in his family life?
Oh, please, like you haven't.
Always
Fitzy
taking the cheap shots at the Patriots.
Please, yeah, I'm the first one you lob on the pile to take that grenade, huh?
Damn right.
Oh, or will Kal-El and Lara be here tonight?
Who the hell are
Galen and Tom Sr.?
I would think.
You think they'll be here?
Why not? Wouldn't you
it's
come?
A long flight. The sister lives in the area.
Yeah, but
she'll
if your son
here.
Is getting a statue, and I know he's Tom Brady and he's got a lot of accolades and great things, but
like the Edelmans
statues are permanent.
The Edelmans will be here when, yes, they are, usually. The Edelmans will be here.
True,
usually.
Unless they take him down 200 years later for various reasons.
Or they find out maybe the head coach looked the other way a couple of times at your major university in the middle of Pennsylvania. That's fine, no big deal. But actually kind of a very big deal. But like the Edelmans will be an extremely big deal. The Edelmans will be here in September. You know, will they come? They've come to a lot of different things for Tom. A lot of parties, a lot of duck boats.
And one per year is not a huge deal.
Absolutely not, Fitzy.
Ah, come on.
And I feel like, you know, their son could maybe get him a private jet so they don't have to go through, regular TSA and pre-check.
I'm telling you, the helicopter goes right to Norwood. They're flying out of here. That 7:30 tonight before kickoff.
Dan Ball, do we have an update on the Tom Brady jersey count? And are you counting the numbers 10 from Michigan?
Tom Brady, Michigan.
We got one walking
by. Nice. I have not. That's,
nice.
That's
that guy
the first
gets
one
it.
Of those I've seen.
Okay,
we're up to, from my count, because I'm trying not to count doubles, 29 jerseys since 2005.
Oh, you're doing face recognition, and if they go by twice, you don't count them?
I'm doing my absolute best.
Dan, it's
higher. He's the best producer in the business.
It's higher than that. By the way, Andy, of all the Tom Brady games that you – that or fans like to go back and watch, rewatch, sometimes catch the highlights of, just think, damn, God, this kid's always been something. You ever go back and watch highlights of that the Sugar Bowl comeback? The Orange Bowl comeback against Alabama?
Yes, which is always my example of when people tell me, like, Brady wasn't that good in college.
Are you nuts?
And it's like, he set records in the Orange Bowl, one of the great bowls of all time.
Against one of the greatest teams ever. Like, just absolutely stupefying to me.
That is something that I do occasionally. I know I'm not the super fan Fitzy, and I'm not in that necessarily lane. But when you go back and look at some of the games, and obviously I covered them, I wrote about them, and they did become
a lot of sick brags,
repetitive or whatever. Like
greatness
the
got
bar.
Repetitive. Yeah.
Well, there's times there was that Jaguars playoff game
where he was
way back now, where
wasn't
he went
he
like
27
26 of
29,
28,
26, 28.
It was like two incompletions, or those games where he had. Do you have five touchdowns in a quarter against
Tennessee 2009?
Like. Some of those are just stupid, and some of those fly in the face of I still think there's this weird game manager or whatever that
he did whatever the team needed.
He had five touchdowns in a quarter. That's not managing the damn game. That's putting up crazy numbers and stats and video games.
I was here you were here working. I was here that night in the stands with my family, and that night it went from snowing 45 minutes before kickoff to raining at kickoff to then like kind of nice out. And there was still all the snow on the field, so it had a romantic look. It was right before Halloween 2009. You could see that the Titans, then quarterback by Kerry Collins, wearing the throwback Oilers uniforms, wanted 0.0% to do with anything there.
There was a few of those that came through here. There was a famous Cardinals game that
Matt Castle just like no annihilated.
Part, like
them.
The Cardinals just wanted
41-3.
Can we just go back on the bus? Yeah, you guys cool? just call this a game, and we'll get the heck out of here and do that. Yeah, but some of those numbers, some of those games, some of those performances, because everybody fixates on the Falcons Super Bowl or the Super Bowls or the drive, the first drive at the end of Super Bowl 36, any of those things. And those are obviously what established kind of the Super Bowl legacy. There's plenty of regular season games where you just put up stupid video game numbers.
How about in the 2010 season, the second half of the Thanksgiving game? The defense didn't even show up in the first half, and they were getting annihilated. And then in the second half, he and Deion Branch must have like sat down at the same little table and just like sketched out four routes. They were unstoppable in the second half of
that. And that's the other thing is people get so fixated on the late career connections with Gronkowski and Edelman and just forget how many great overall Troy Brown, 90-something catches or 100 catches in 2001. Deion Branch becomes his favorite receiver.
Twice.
David Givens, the most underrated receiver in Patriots history, in my opinion, and maybe the most underrated postseason.
Do you have a photo of him?
Love
him. In your workouts?
Love him. Great guy.
Guy was absolutely
clutch as can be.
Jacked.
Clutch as can be and absolutely yoked. But as you go through the years, and the Moss and Welker years obviously get a lot of attention, but there's been so many guys that he has found a way to align with and put up big. Brandon LaFell is a perfect example. Brandon LaFell had a 1,000-yard season,
excellent.
Basically. And you don't go to a Super Bowl without him.
And how about, caught the first touchdown of Super Bowl 49.
Yep.
And how about his catch to put them ahead of the Ravens in the ultimate divisional round game?
And obviously, Tom Brady is the one that helps make all those relationships with all of those different guys over the years. But I think sometimes we forget just how many of those guys were such clutch options for him.
As we pivot towards Drake May and the 2025 Patriots as well, who do you think? Oh, that's adorable. Got a little kid May and a little kid Brady walking there. That's
the past and the future.
I love it. I said I love it. Let me ask you this. By the end of this season, who do you think we will be talking about as that next Troy Brown or Deion Branch?
Oh, easy.
Pop Douglas, right?
It's Pop Douglas. Yeah. I've talked myself into that situation, kind of like I did with Joe Ryan, that leads to disappointment and anger, and I lash out.
Well.
But I've talked myself into the Pop Douglas is going to catch 90-plus balls or more this year, that he is that go-to guy in the Josh McDaniels offense for Drake May. The offensive line may not be great, get rid of the ball quickly, but also he's got the Deion Branch run-after-catch ability. He's not just a slot receiver. He's a bigger play-type guy.
He's a water bug with some clutch playmaking ability. Yep. So I'm going to set the over-under at 77.5 on Pop Douglas.
Oh, over with ease.
Okay.
Over by 20.
Whoa, man.
As long as he stays healthy.
Okay. There you go.
That was the caveat.
Has he learned or has he practiced the get down, get out of bounds? Because I know he did take a couple pops early in his career and had a couple.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Pops.
Now, he got his bell rung a few times. I would like to see him play the season out and not get dinged up again.
617-779-7937. Taking your phone calls. It is Patriots preseason opener against the Washington Commanders. It is also Brady Statue Night here at Patriot Place, where WEEI Afternoons is live on the Dean College stage just outside Citizen Crust. And no, I do not look over my shoulder to make sure I get it right every time I say it now. We're also across from Bar Louie. Up next, though, we do need to touch on the Boston Red Sox coming off an off game and then an off day, heading into a Walker Buehler performance in what Fitzy and I like to refer to as a sneaky big game, a sneaky big game at 9:40 tonight for your Boston Red Sox. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
I know you keep in touch with a lot of the guys, so like to have to go against Walker now and then go against Nick as well, like it's a little emotional, but obviously
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We got so many guys all over the place.
So we have an ongoing debate here on the show, and we've actually asked the audience and put it out to social media. Like, what component of the Red Sox do you give the most credit to for the surge right now, late season? Is it the youth movement? Is it the veteran players? Is it the pitching? Could it be management as well?
You're welcome.
Or could it
you
be
you didn't win the poll, just an FYI.
I bet I did it.
No.
That was Red Sox manager Alex Cora with us earlier this week at Fenway Park here on WEEI Afternoons, where today our Boots on the Ground tour takes us to Patriot Place, Dean College Stage, just outside of Citizen Crust, where we are now almost 3 hours away from Tom Brady statue reveal night here down in the promenade, as Fitzy calls it.
Well, no, this is the plaza. The promenade is what leads you into the stadium. This is like the plaza at Patriot.
No, but the statue you said is in the promenade, even though they call it the plaza.
Well, I like the word
promenade. I think it's actually a sponsored plaza. There's some sponsor goes right for the word plaza.
Promenades are plazas.
Either way, we will find out what the statue of Tom Brady looks like and what he has to say about getting a statue. And
how will this
is he forever a Patriot?
How will
but I'm out of here. Get the helicopter warmed up.
Exactly. That said, what if he's like, yeah, I'm so honored to be remembered now in memorial, like this bronze statue out here in front of the plaza, you know, on the promenade slash plaza. It's a little confusing, no worries. But also, come September 7th,
go Raiders.
Come here, beat your ass, go Raiders.
Pete Carroll.
This got awkward for everybody. Let's go.
It is pretty crazy that they happen to be the opener. He's here now, and a month from now, his team will be here taking on his former team. It's a little, there's a lot of storylines there.
But he's very, would you call Tom Brady overextended at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Card Vault, TV12.
The newsletter that I didn't even know he had that got himself in trouble with Scheffler,
all the Fanatics Fest, which he was all over
he's
as well.
Everywhere.
I'd like to see him pick a lane or two and you know give everything he's got to it. But whether it's broadcasting or let's condense the operation just a little bit.
You know who's doing like a little bit less but look like they're having a great time?
Who?
Edelman and Gronk. They've just basically like they're just doing those Nuthouse podcasts. They're doing the live show August 28th. Hey, guys, if you want to comp us a couple of VIPs, we'd love to swing by. Thanks.
They asked who the VIPs are.
Very immense blanks. But, like, they're doing the podcast. They do some stuff for Fox, and they're just, like, and they're having fun. That's it. Like, we are party bros. We played. We had a great time. We are now out from underneath the lead shield of Belichick's watch and guidance, and now we're just ripping Coors Lights and Miller Lights while we do a podcast, and then we, you know, put on a suit and tie and go out to Fox on Sundays. Like, that's... That to me is it, but like, there's no further crazy overextension.
No overextension, and I do think he is still searching for whatever truly fulfills him in the next chapter in his life. But we'll see if he expresses some of those feelings tonight here at Gillette Stadium in the Promenade Plaza.
I bet he won't.
One last question regarding before we get into a little socks. How will this speech rank or rate against the excellent 20-minute speech he delivered?
That was awesome.
The dude
can speak. As much as I question some of the things he says at times or writes or gets himself in trouble or even question his ability as a color commentator, maybe he's not biting enough, not critical enough, his speeches, his answers, his motivationals, if you saw the one
football
recently put out.
Football is hard.
It was tremendous.
It's great.
Tremendous. Yeah. No, he will nail it, but it won't be as good as that.
It
can't be as good as that. No. And it's much shorter. I think he's only going to speak for a few minutes. It's going to be him and Kraft done in 15 minutes, so...
It should be like 3 minutes tops.
Yeah, probably. But the Red Sox play tonight, 9:40 out in San Diego after the loss, after the day off. It is a Walker Buehler start. Nick Pivetta on the mound. Skippy Pivetta will be on the mound for the Padres, a nickname nobody knew he had until this week. Nick Pivetta is 11-3 with a 2.73 ERA this year.
Wait, what?
You didn't know that?
I knew he was having a season. I didn't know he was sub-3.
Yeah, no, he is a legit good pitcher.
I know, and so they're getting the Nick Pivetta with 14 strikeouts in relief version of himself all season, and not the Nick Pivetta who has a meltdown on the mound and gets kicked off after an inning and two-thirds.
He leads the NL in hits allowed per 9 innings.
That's not great.
6 hits allowed per 9 innings.
6 per 9?
Yeah.
That's not nice.
Pretty good. It's the first time he's ever had a full season ERA under 4.
Wow.
But I would say... Season's not over, and he hasn't faced the hot Boston Red Sox. They have the ability, as we've seen, to score a boatload of runs, and they might need to because Walker Buehler will be on the mound.
All right.
He's 6-6 with a 5.74. Yeah, holy crap. If you double Pivetta's ERA, it's still lower than Buehler's. You can double it, and it's still lower.
Bueller's been better of late, though.
1-0 with a 3.57 in four July starts. But how do you feel about Walker Bueller and the Walker Bueller coming off of the Dustin May experience with a flight to San Diego in between? How do you feel about this whole three-day span here?
Can't be much
sneaky
worse.
Big game?
Sneaky, very sneaky big.
Not sneaky, maybe just big game?
As we discussed, we are looking for – what's up, buddy? As we discussed, focus. We are looking for – come on, we're out here for the fans as well. Dan, six more Bradys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So as we discussed, like, we are looking for the fourth starter. We are looking for somebody to grab hold of that fourth spot in the rotation just in case they need the fourth guy to take pressure off the beast, make sure that Bayo and Giolito know they don't have to win every start and pitch their arms off. And Walker Bueller should be the first guy out the gate to grab hold of that. You know, they talked about how during the All-Star break, he went down to Texas, worked at a performance clinic. He's looked better since then as well. He's taken some pressure off of himself. The younger kid's doing well, might make it easier. This is it's a big one for the Sox. It is enormous for Walker Bueller.
Well, I feel like he's used to that because I feel like they've been enormous for 2 months now or so, ever since basically Dan Ball said he should never pitch for the Red Sox again.
And I'll still stand by that because I still, going into a playoff series like you talk about, Fitzy, I still think that four and the five spot for the rest of the regular season should be wide open. It's yep. Bueller, May, your boy Cooper Criswell, Andy, Harrison if he can work his way into it. Even now Peyton Tolley's up in AAA. So.
Oh, he'll be up by the end of the year. I don't know whether it's bullpen or yeah. starting. He'll be
Tolley?
Up. Yep.
So is he like the David Price addition to the 2008 Rays?
He's the wild card, and whether that's as like an opener, whether he's a true starter, I don't know.
I
think they are banking on Tolley being part
over
of
over Harrison.
I mean, you kind of have a couple spots you need to fill even down the stretch before you even get to the postseason.
That's a good point.
They're a little shaky. May, his usage, we'll talk about that later, and Walker Bueller has been hanging on by a piece of dental floss for 2 months now.
But and it only hurts, as you mentioned yesterday, and then I saw on social media again. Thanks so much, Elon Musk, for putting that right at the top of my feed today. Tibbs hitting two ding-dongs in one game.
Yeah, that hurt.
That hurts.
It's a bad look.
It's not a great look.
Did Breslow tell you again that he signed Roman Anthony for 8 years? Because that's what he needs you to focus
old
on.
Old salmon coat?
He needs you to focus on. He signed Roman Anthony for the next 8 years and $130 million. Coming up on 3 o'clock, that means Ted Johnson will be joining us. I'm staring at a Ted Johnson jersey. That's the good news. The bad news is it's not actually Ted Johnson. I believe he'll be joining us unless he's caught in a security line, bag check line somewhere. Ted Johnson.
Do they know who he is?
They do know who he is around here. The man's a stud. The man's got three Super Bowl rings. He's half of the Tom Brady dynasty here at Gillette Stadium, where we are broadcasting live Dean College Stage and Patriot Place just outside of Citizen Crust. Come on, join us. Pre-game for Patriots Commanders. But up next, it's 3 o'clock. That means Ted Johnson and our three-point stances, where we'll turn the table a little bit. We'll pull a little Rich Keefe combo here. It's not keys to the game, but it's what is it going to take for it to be a successful season in 2025 for your New England Patriots. That's up next on our three-point stances here on WEEI Afternoons.